My name's Kevin. My wife Claudia was up here earlier, and for those that haven't are new here, haven't met us yet, we started the journey, I don't know, just over 3.5 years ago. Had a real heart for singles. We had most of our friends were single, and we'd spent a lot of time mentoring people, connecting people, helping them into relationships, and so we thought, what the heck? Let's just do something for singles. And so we've been doing it for a while now. And we've seen God do some awesome things. So we actually just had a big change up in our ministry. We changed the age range because we were a little bit ambiguous and it was a little bit loose. So and we always felt like God wanted us to minister to sort of more of the younger singles, 30s and 40s. So we're kind of changing a bunch of things up. We're going to be doing some different things. As you know, if you've been connected to the journey for a little while, our focus is relationships. So we believe biblically and in God's heart and God's eyes, relationships are the most important thing. Relationships with Him first, then relationships with others, whether it's family or friends, and then relationships with the opposite sex. And so we tend to, you know, focus on our topics a lot on that. You know, sometimes we're focusing on God and connecting with Him. And then this month, our focus is back to guy-girl relationships. And our topic is right there, a gentleman and a lady dating etiquette for the 21st century. A very confusing topic nowadays because things have changed over the years and the decades. And back in the day, I don't know if, you know, even in my father's day or grandfather's day, they actually would, like, parents would actually communicate dating etiquette. They would instruct their kids on the do's and don'ts of dating and how to navigate that. But now parents don't have a clue because things have changed so much. And so there's nobody talking about this stuff, really. You may have, you know, for those that are avid readers, maybe you've read some books to Christian singles. There's a few out there, not tons. And maybe you've started to navigate that. But so we're going to hit on that tonight, give you some opportunity to discuss it. And so tonight will be the beginning. Just, I'm the clicker guy. There we go. So this is where we're going over the next two events. So probably today, I may only get the first three done, but we're going to hopefully get through all of them. So, hon, can you hand out 3x5 cards so people can write questions on them that we can kind of address over the next few weeks if we're able to? Do you have those? Okay. So I encourage you as we go through this, if you have questions regarding dating etiquette, in other words, the do's and don'ts of relationships, opposite sex relationships, dating relationships, then just write them down and hand them in the basket at the back on your way out, and we'll try and have a Q&A time next time and field some of those questions. All right, so our first one. Now, of course, you know, the do's and don'ts. To do the do's and don'ts right, you need to do the B first. In other words, the kind of person you are, the way you think, your attitude going into opposite sex relationships determines whether you do the etiquette right. If you don't have the right attitude going in, there's a good chance you're not going to have very good relationships with the opposite sex. So we're going to hit this one first, and then we'll have a discussion time. So I kind of did a little interview thing by email with some of our leaders and got their input on this. So, you know, it's some of my stuff, some of their stuff, and let's see where we go. Okay, so off the top first, you need to go into meeting the opposite sex and dating with goodwill. In other words, thinking well of the opposite sex. If you're going into it with a chip on your shoulder, you know, kind of battle the sexes. The guys are all like this. I can't believe them. They only think one way. And girls are like, oh, they're emotional basket cases. And you got a chip on your shoulder. You're not going to have good dating experiences. So if you've been hurt or wounded, you need to help get the Lord to help you work through that and change your mindset and start speaking the truth to yourself that God is working in men's lives, that there are good, godly Christian men out there, that God's got some great guy or gal for you to meet. You need to start telling yourself those kind of things and not let those negative tapes play in your head, right? And that's going to put you in good stead for good connections with the opposite sex, because people can tell that. Even if you've just got a little bit of an attitude, it'll come out like this little barb occasionally, and the other person will go, oh, I think I'll go over here and meet somebody else, right? They'll be able to tell that. Okay, so you go into it with kindness, wanting to be kind and to be a blessing to somebody else. We say, go into relationships, or even if it's just meeting somebody in an event like this for the first time, be there to give, not to get. Okay, so if you go in, how can I be a blessing to this person? How can I make them feel like, you know, they were blessed to have met me tonight? How can I find a treasure in them and go, wow, I never knew that. That's amazing that you do that, or that, you know, you've been involved in that or whatever. Find ways of blessing, not bruising. So give, not get. Bless, don't bruise. Lift higher, not pull lower. Right? So you want to be there to lift people up and make them feel better for having met you. I recently was asked this question by a single guy. I was kind of challenging him around his dating. I was like, so how many dates have you been on recently? How many women have you actually approached and asked out? Well, not too many. If you ask most guys, it's like they're not stepping up in that area very well. So then I said, well, you don't have to think of it as this big sort of high pressure stakes event. Just think of it asking women out just to get to know them, get to know sisters in the Lord. And his retort was, well, wouldn't that be selfish? Just doing it just to, you know, develop skills and get to know them and, you know, kind of help myself prepare for dating. I said, no, not at all. Not if you go in with the right mindset. If you go in to be a blessing and it's like, whatever happens, Lord, she's going to be better off with having met me, right? And if the gals go into it, and we always say, you know, unless the guy is like absolutely horrifies you, it's like, I'd rather be like celibate the rest of my life, you know, say yes. If he asks you out, say yes. Get to know him. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, you don't have to be thinking going down the aisle and be treasure hunting, looking for something valuable and precious in that person. And if you can leave a deposit to make that person, help that person in their journey towards becoming, a better husband for somebody else. And you never know, along the way, you may see treasures and amazing things in that person that you never saw before. And you're like, wow, I never saw that before. And we've got so many friends that have said that exact same thing and ended up walking down the aisle with that person, or walking to the altar with that person. Okay. So, but you need to start with that now. So for men specifically, in our culture, women are often treated as commodities. You know, they're seen as commodities to kind of own and stuff. I mean, back in the old days, it was even worse. You know, they were owned by their father until they handed them over to their husband, and there were actual possessions that were traded like merchandise. But still today, in our culture, women are mistreated and they aren't highly valued. And God wants to change that culture, and he wants us as believers who believe in Jesus to be the ones that change the current of that. And we can do that. So when you go into guys' relationships with women, always be thinking, this is a very valuable, precious person in God's eyes, and I'm responsible for how I treat her, right? And you think of it as kind of an awesome responsibility. And women, on the flip side, this is, you know, an amazing man that God has put treasures in, and I'm here to elevate him and to lift him higher. For the guys, you know, Jesus always treated women way better than the culture. You know, he highly valued and esteemed women. Like, for instance, the woman at the well who was a Samaritan that the Jews considered dogs. They wouldn't even hang out with Samaritans, let alone a Samaritan woman. But here Jesus is talking with her at the well, ministering to her, blessing her, and, you know, she was so excited about meeting Jesus, basically her whole village came to the Lord. So that's Jesus' heart that he wants us to carry into relationships with women, especially as men. And I want to encourage you, not just the ones you're attracted to, not just the ones you think could be potentials. This is the test, right? You need to learn how to esteem and bless and lift up and honor all women, and the same with the women, all men. Because you're sending out it's kind of a sowing and reaping cycle. If you only sow blessing and good things into ones that you think are potentials for you or attractive, then you're sowing self-centeredness, right? And you're putting it out there, and all the opposite sex people are looking, right? And they're telling their friends, and they can tell that, you know? So if you want good references, you need to be treating everybody well and honoring everybody, not just those ones, you know. So the player mentality is out if you're going to honor Jesus, right? You're not a player. You're here to be a blessing and to esteem others. All right, I got so much to say, so I like have to edit this along the way here. You know, men tend to often in our culture leave a legacy of broken women because they're looking for, you know, that one thing in most cases. And they don't treat them with awe and with honor. So what I say is, how do you think God would want you to treat a woman if she was eventually not going to be your wife, but some other man's wife? And in most cases, you don't know. You don't know whether she's going to be your wife until you've proposed to her, she said yes, and even then, it's not a certainty till you're at the altar doing the I do's. So up until that point, you need to treat her with honor, and, you know, she could very well be someone else's wife. So let's flip that question around. Would you want another man to treat your future wife the way you're treating that woman? Right? If your future wife's out there, and other guys are, you know, meeting her or maybe even asking her out for a date, would you want them to treat her the same way that you're treating other women? Would you want him to think of her the same way that you're thinking of other women? Good questions to ask. You know, scripturally speaking, and I won't do too much of this. We'll eventually have another sex talk coming up. We're probably due for our yearly sex talk for singles. but scripturally speaking, the Bible talks about keeping sex within the constraints of marriage. Now, I know in our culture that seems absolutely impossible. And, you know, I can't go into it too much tonight. But, hey, I'm a testimony of it. I got married at 47, and I got married as a virgin. So you think 40-year-old virgin was like a big deal in the movies. I beat him. The grace of God and lots of good buddies praying for me and standing with me. So you're rejoicing in that. So treat her as precious and of great value as somebody that you would, a woman that you would highly esteem. So whether it's like the Queen of England, you know, whether it's Princess Di or, you know, whoever you have thought highly of as a woman, Mother Teresa or maybe some artist or politician, treat her as that. You know, if she's in the same room and this esteemed woman, whether it's the queen or somebody, came in, you wouldn't be like scoping her up and down and say, hey, baby, you know. No, you would you would treat her like a valuable woman. You're not going to be checking her out. You're going to be like looking her in the eye and getting to know her and deferring and like honoring her. And, well, you know, you're going to be looking out for her needs. Oh, do you need something? Do you need a drink? Oh, can I get you some food? You're going to be like, oh, can I escort you to your car? Right? Because she's valuable. I love a talk that Josh McDowell once did on honoring people. And he said, you need to treat people. You know, this analogy may be a little over the top for most people here, so I have to explain it. But treat people as if they are, for instance, a Stradivarius. Stradivarius, which is a violin, which is highly, highly expensive. They can run $1 million and more dollars just for this violin. So when this person comes in the room, it should be like, wow. It's like, oh, it's like honor. This is like highly valued, treasured person. Everybody you meet, if you treat them like that, you've learned the heart of Jesus, and you're going to be sowing amazing seeds for great relationships with the opposite sex in your life. All right, I got to move on. So for men, the Bible tells us to put away childish things, you know, wrong mindsets that the world embraces that God doesn't, fantasies that the world embraces that God doesn't. It's time to grow up, you know, and all of us need to do that in a lot of areas of our lives. So for women, again, treat men with respect and honor. Going into, whether it's a guy you're meeting the first time or you've met a number of times, looking out for the incredible qualities that God's put in him. Whether you're going to go down the aisle with him or whether you're going to marry him or not, be treasure hunting, looking for the amazing qualities in that guy, asking him questions that would draw him out, finding the things that he's passionate about and excited about. And I see women that make guys light up, and I watch them, and I watch what they do and how they relate to men that, you know, makes men like, and they could be just very ordinary, plain women that guys are like, want to hang out with them. They want to talk to them because they make the guys feel like $1 million. Because they know how to draw them out, and they dig and they ask questions and they get excited when they find this treasure. And, oh, wow, you're into that? You do that? That's amazing. Tell me more. Why are you so excited? You know, why are you passionate about that? I'd love to hear more. And they're able to draw the guy out, be excited about it, and make the guy feel like he's important and valued and honored. And it doesn't have to be something you fake. If you go into any relationship believing that everybody's made it in the image of God, and there's incredible treasures inside every person, and you're just waiting to find them and go, wow. All right, a couple more things, and we'll have our discussion. So, as we've said probably in the book and other places, many singles need to just lay down their crazy, unrealistic expectations and the long list of things they're looking for in the opposite sex, and just, you know, have some, the most important criteria, the must-haves, and leave the rest to God, you know? And realize that the superficial things that the world looks for is not what God wants you to be looking for, you know? So if you're still looking for, you know, a Brad Pitt look-alike that, you know, that has the character of Jesus and the personality of Don Juan, you're going to be waiting a long, long time, probably till heaven, okay? Or the guys, if you're looking for Angelina Jolie with the character and heart of Mother Teresa and the personality of, you put in, fill in the blank, you're probably going to be waiting for a long time. So let's start looking for real people, not unreal people. A lot of people are building avatars. You know what an avatar is? Take a piece of this person, a piece of that person, a piece of this person, looks like this, looks like that, and you build your own person. Now, you can only do that in the electronic world, and if you want to remain in the electronic world the rest of your life, you can, but that's not God's design for you, and you're really never going to be satisfied. You got to realize you got to marry or connect with real people who have flaws and all kinds of issues, and they're not going to look perfect. You know, I heard this recently, and we talk about one of the biggest obstacles to relationships is pornography in our culture. And it's not just a guy thing. I'm talking about, for guys, it's more the visual eye pornography. For women, it's emotional pornography. We call it emote porn, you know, emotional porn. So for guys, I heard this just recently, and I thought it was just really cool. When you expose yourself, obviously, to pornography, you're devaluing people. You're not thinking of them as God thinks of them. And there are a couple things here, if I can find them in my notes. Okay. So for guys, you know, when you're exposing yourself to porn, you're saying, basically, these are the messages you're sending out. A real body is not good enough for me. One body is not good enough for me. My future wife's body will not be good enough for me. And if you're sending out those messages, women feel it. It doesn't matter whether you say anything or not, they feel it. They're very sensitive to that. My wife had, you know, a few traumatic relationships before we met. One was with a guy that was involved in ministry. I think he was a youth pastor and involved in all kinds of things in his church. He was on staff. And she met him, and she felt there's something weird about this guy. She just felt like icky, like kind of like. And God eventually, you know, within a few months of her connecting with this guy, exposed him, and it came out that he was addicted to porn. And he was actually, you know, basically had to step down from his position in the church. Point being, women sense that stuff. You know, going into relationships, it's important for you to walk out of those things, clean up your mind, clean up your playlist, clean up whatever, so that you can start walking in purity like Jesus, and you can start honoring women. And then for the women, You know, if you've got all these unrealistic expectations because you've been watching soap operas and reading romantic novels and, you know, romantic movies and stuff, and, you know, you're enamored by whether it's George Clooney or whoever, you know, and you've got all these romantic ideas that are basically Hollywood lies, that's called emotional porn. And you need to give that stuff up. Give it up because it'll ruin your relationships with men, with real men. I mean, if you want an avatar, go for it, but you're not going to be happy. Okay. So decide what your must-haves are. You want somebody who loves God. You want somebody who's teachable. Very important characteristic. You know, for women, if the guy that you connect with is not teachable, he won't learn, he won't grow, he won't be able to change when he's making mistakes or he's messing up. You're married to a very proud man who will be like, it'll be excruciatingly painful to be married to that guy. Because he won't listen to anybody that speaks into his life. You need somebody who's teachable. And you also, for the guys, you need a woman that's teachable. It's humble enough to listen and to change. You want somebody who is kingdom-minded. You know, my video blog, we talk about kingdom marriage, which means you want somebody, you don't go into marriage to fulfill your selfish needs. You go into marriage to connect with somebody that you can help them fulfill their dreams, and together you can make a difference in the world for Jesus. That's the primary purpose for marriage. But I don't know too many singles that have that in mind when they're going into relationships. So if you go into relationships with the wrong mindset, you're messed up from the start. You're not going to find what God really has for you. You're not going to find the highest relationship and marriage that God has for you. You know? So I can't talk too much about that, but I encourage you to go look at the Straight Talk to Christian Singles vlog called Kingdom Marriage. That'll really help you out in that area. Somebody that's kind, somebody that's able to ask and receive forgiveness, who's willing to ask for forgiveness. That's one thing Claudia and I have to do very regularly. We have to ask each other for forgiveness. And if you can't do that, your marriage isn't going to last very long. So start practicing it now. If you hurt somebody by something you said or an attitude or a behavior and they're distancing themselves and, you know, there's kind of a rift, go to them and say, hey, you know, I have a sense that maybe I said or did something that hurt you and, you know, if so, would you please forgive me? You know, do you want to talk about it or whatever? But ask them for forgiveness and to start practicing that. Last three things. Commit to purity in your relationships before you go in, and go in with hope. Fill yourself so much with scripture about the goodness of God, about that God wants to bless you. He wants to give you all things pertaining to life and godliness, which includes great relationships, that you're going in with hope. You're not going in like, oh, no, it's going to be another one of those relationships doesn't work out. You know, I go out and, you know, he's going to not call me back or whatever. And then, or, I don't know, she's not going to say yes. I'll call her up and she'll, you know, say she's washing her hair on Saturday night. Always try and keep your hope up. Keep your prayer up. Keep your hope up. If something doesn't work out, it's okay because God's on your side. He's got something, someone amazing for you. It's self-destructive not to have your hope high going into relationships. You need that. And then finally, treasure hunt. Always be looking for the treasures in people. So people you know, relatives, friends, people you just meet at events like this, always be treasure hunting. Okay, let's flip on to the questions. Oh, they're the notes. I got carried away. How do I go back? Okay. So discuss those ideas that are most meaningful to you in this last segment and why. Okay, so you got about 12 minutes and around your tables. And try and limit it to about 1 minute max per person because some people like to say a lot of stuff and other people are a little bit shy. So try and limit it to about a minute per person and you got about 12 minutes. Go. All right. Let's wrap the tabletop up for now. Those that didn't get to share can share the next discussion time. Just remember who hasn't piped up yet. All right. Okay, just before I go into the next segment, maybe like two comments, just, you know, something that was very significant that was said at one of your tables. Somebody want to make a comment. What were some of the highlights for your tables? A couple people. Anyone? Volunteer? Okay, over here.
I have learned from girlfriends and everywhere that when dating, when a man would say, "Oh, baby, you totally complete me," and they would say, "No, that's a red flag. You better run as fast as you can, be far away as much as you can," because I don't think nobody can complete you. Your happiness is your own happiness. It doesn't make you to be happy with someone. You have to be happy for yourself. It's the same thing that you have to love yourself first in order to give love to somebody else. So,
cool. Okay, thank you. Good comment.
One more over here.
So unless the guy was actually saying, you know, "You're just cool, I really like you," you know, it's kind of a weird comment. But, people say that kind of stuff in our society, and it means a dozen different things.
Amen. Then
someone
one more
else?
On this side.
So one thing that stood out for me when we were talking had to do with actually something that you said when you were going down the list, and just really talking about the point of relationships is to have a kingdom marriage.
Right.
And I just didn't really think about that before, and someone else at the table was saying the same thing, that, yeah, ultimately
sure.
We need to uplift each other and think about when we are in a relationship that we're building up each other and building up the Lord.
Good. Thank you. We'll move on. We're going to have lots more time for interaction. All right. So the next one, etiquette for approaching and meeting. So a lot of people never even get to the dating stage because they haven't figured this part out yet. Right? So we got to kind of back it off a little bit. You know, let's figure this part out. Okay, so a couple just, you know, off the top comments. At events or places or things where you can meet people, don't always be scoping out looking for a potential. Just look for people, you know, meet people, because people know people, right? The more people you know, the more referrals you'll get, right? Be like Romina. She just loves people and meets all kinds of people. Problem in our singles culture, everybody's looking for the one, and so they're like scoping out, could they be the one, could they be the one? They turn on their little singles radar, which is normally wrongly calibrated by Hollywood, and so they mess up all the time. It's better just to love on people, be happy to meet people, treasure hunt, and even if they're not, you know, even if they're married, so what? They could be your best reference, right? Married people know single people. And when they get to know, I've known a lot of singles, even in our ministry, that have got connected to their future spouse or to a great relationship just through other people that knew them and just thought they were amazing people, right? So if you're walking that out, you're going to find God will just open doors. So seeds of love and honor, and it'll come back to you, okay? So at events or times where there's, you know, things where there's people, just jump into groups and just step out of yourself. You know, it's going to take some time maybe for some of you who are timid and kind of just stand back in this. But eventually you just got to like jump through that sort of glass wall and just start meeting people. Just say, "Hey, hi, how are you? My name is so-and-so. What's your name?" You know, and start, if you practice that regularly. And we say, do it every day, everywhere you go. Do it at Starbucks. Do it at the grocery store. Do it everywhere you go. Meet people and say, "God, there's amazing people all around me. I just wanted to sow a deposit of love in their life." Whether it's just a smile, a quick hi, "How are you?" I've said this before. I've got a friend who's, Ian's come to speak here before, Ian Patterson. His mom is amazing. She can like meet somebody in the grocery line or even the checkout girl, and within like a 2 or 3 minute conversation, she can find out all kinds of things about that person, some of the most significant things in their life, and have the person in tears and have her hand on her and praying for her. She just knows how to connect with people. Right, so your goal is just to learn how to connect with people and how to make people feel blessed. Okay, so initiate, engaging for guys, especially for guys, you need to learn how to initiate, to step out first, because often the ladies are standing back a little bit and kind of waiting, hoping that you're going to initiate. So practice taking risks and develop a vocabulary for small talk. A lot of people say, oh, I'm not shallow. I'm not in that small talk. I just want to get down, you know, and ask my 20 questions, find out if she's my wife, and then just pop the question. That's not how it works. If you can't warm her up and make her feel like you're an amazing guy in the small talk realm, you're probably not going to get beyond that. Small talk is kind of like first base, you know, in the communication realm. So develop some, you know, just some small talk language. And it doesn't have to be some cute line that they have in the bar scene. It's just like, hi there, how are you doing? You know, I'm Artie. What's your name? Right? Just simple stuff. Like if you do that with a smile on your face and with confidence, they're going to respond. I guarantee you the people will respond if you're warm. You know, is this your first time here? Wow, that guac looks like the bomb. You know, just make some fun, like off-the-cuff comments. You know, if you're at the refreshment table or something. Pizza, yeah. How's that? How is it? You know, I'm starving. You know, just say stupid things, but do it with confidence, and you're going to start a conversation. People will laugh, even if you're awkward, and you'll warm people up, right? You know? You know, hi, I know I'm late. What have I missed? Total stranger, you can say that too, and they'll kind of smile, and they'll probably say something, right? And you can get a conversation going. So just, you know, practice, think through some things that you can say just to warm up the conversation. Women can do the same. I mean, you don't have to wait for the guy always to approach you. If he's in your vicinity, right, you're standing at the refreshment table or you're standing somewhere and there's a guy around, you can kind of look at him and smile, show yourself warm, and maybe say something, hi, you know? That's okay. You know, you're not going to ask him out, you know, hey, do you go on a date? But you can be warm and you can say hi, you can throw out a fun comment. How about we wait till the Q&A time? I want to get through here, but I know there's going to be like a billion questions around this business, like who initiates and when can girls do something and not, and when should the guys, and that's why I have a vlog, and we'll continue to put some of these topics up. But if you have questions, put them on the cards, and we'll make sure we hit them. If we don't get them this time, we'll do it next time, or I'll make a vlog on it. Okay, eye contact without staring. So for the guys, when you're talking to a woman, make eye contact. If she's valuable, you're going to honor her by looking at her, but you don't have to like stare her down in the eyes. You can like shift a little bit and then go back to her eyes, a little bit like this. But the key is not to have wandering eyes either. So the guys are like this, they're talking to the girl, and all of a sudden they're like, No. Don't be doing that. She'll know. If you're checking out other women while you're talking to her, that's a no-no, okay? And women can tell that. They're very sensitive to that, okay? So you won't get away with it. I'm telling you now. My wife's told me all about this. She knows. You know, if she's talking to a guy and he knows he's checking out other women just past her, right? Like, and you know, then they're trying to act all innocent. Don't be doing it. Okay, so, you know, learn how to ask questions and to bounce the ball back and forth in conversation. You know, you can probably find lots of stuff on YouTube on how to do that. I've got guys now that I've encouraged in this. They're actually studying, and they're like getting YouTube videos or reading books or figuring this stuff out, because if you're an engineer and you spend most of your life in front of a computer and you deal with code and not people, maybe you need to learn a little bit in this area. One of the talks we had was called Form, and we've done this before. I've had Ian do it. Family, occupation, recreation, and message. If you have those keys in mind, you can have a conversation for 2 hours. Family, questions about family, right? How many people you got in your family? Where are they? Are they from these parts? You know, are you more close to one member of your family than the others? Tell me about it, you know? Think of a few questions around family. Occupation. Don't always ask job questions. People are way more than their jobs, even though Silicon Valley would tell you otherwise. Okay, recreation. What do you love to do outside of work? You know? Tell me about it. Why are you passionate about it? Why'd you get into that? Oh, that's such a cool activity. So then message. Give people messages, positive messages about the things they've told you, right? that is so cool. I'm so glad I met you tonight. You know, I've never met somebody that's into rock climbing as much as you. And, you know, I that's something I'd like to learn someday or whatever. You know, give them positive messages about things they've told you and affirm them. So that's a whole 1 hour teaching, but we won't do that tonight. Be a good listener, you know, practice listening, not just so that you can prepare for what you're going to say next, but so that you can actually hear what people are saying, okay? I know, you know, it takes practice. So the more you interact with people around this, the better you'll get. And be peaceful about it. Don't be all nervous and like, oh, you know, what if I screw up and say something stupid, you know? If you're confident and you say something stupid, it'll go over just fine. You know, as long as you learn to laugh at yourself, you say something silly and say, whatever, you know, and you just keep going, you know, be confident. I know guys like, you know, I would just shake my head at because they're guys that, you know, by the world standards weren't the most charming. They weren't that attractive, but they had like confidence through the roof. They could say stupid things and get away with it. And all the girls were like, yeah, he's cool. I like him, you know, so. All right. But the goal should always be connecting with people's heart, not just their head. So, you know, I could say a lot about that, but we don't have time. But learn how to connect with people's hearts. So find out things that really make them tick, that they're passionate about, that stir up their heart and their emotions. For guys, look to a woman's needs. I mean, she's sensitive around that. You know, be willing to serve women around you. You send out signals to the world when you're just standing there, you know, and a woman's struggling with some packages or she needs some help or she's got to walk to her car 2 blocks in the dark and you're not helping out. Look to the needs of women to serve them and honor them and protect them. Women are very sensitive. If a guy's like doing little things to show he cares or he's going to protect her or help her out with certain things, they're sensitive to that. And then last thing for guys, have a life message or a passion. Things that you're passionate about, you know. If you don't have anything you're passionate about, find some things. Women love guys that are excited and passionate about something, right? You know, they're just, whether it's a job or a vocation or a ministry thing they're doing or, you know, some kind of a hobby thing. If something lights you up and your eyes brighten up and you get excited, women love that because women love emotions, okay? And I don't say that as a demeaning thing for women. Women light up about things that stir their hearts, and they love it to see a guy whose heart is stirred. Okay. For the ladies, be available and be available and open to guys that are approaching you. Don't be like, watch your body language. If you're standing like this and like, you know, it's clear that you're not open to meeting anybody because you're afraid or you're terrified, nobody's going to approach you. So you need to show yourself available. Smile on your face, open body language. You know, look at the guy and like a little cute smile, whatever. You know, make a comment when a guy's near you. Other guys will see that you're talking to various people. Oh, she's friendly. You know, maybe she won't reject me if I actually come and talk to her. You know, so be inviting. Figure out what it takes to look and be inviting. Now, the problem is in our culture, a lot of women are afraid to be inviting because they may attract the kind of guys they don't want to meet, right? And so they do the opposite. They stay all closed. And what ends up happening, even the guys that they may be open to, they've been closed to them and they get that vibe as well. So you can't have it halfway. You've got to be either open to everybody or you're going to come across as closed. So you just have to learn some skills, right? You open and warm to all guys. You may be a little bit reserved around guys that you're not maybe quite as open to, but you're still warm and friendly and they feel the vibe around that. And if they ask you out, you just decline in a gracious way, right? Oh, thanks so much. I feel really flattered, but, you know, I'd rather just stay friends or, you know, there's a lot of ways you can say it, you know, get the books. There's lots of lines you can use, but learn some, you know, learn some lines that are gracious and you can decline in gracious caring ways, and still the next time you see him, you smile, you're warm, you're friendly, you know, or, you know, I just like to start with being friends, you know, I'm just here to meet some people, or, you know, think of different things that you can say for guys that maybe you're not quite ready to, you know, go out on a date with. But maybe this is like the very next point, but as Jenny has made the point of, and we try and say all the time, is women say yes to guys when they ask you out. Go out and get to know people. I mean, you're never going to learn skills, relational skills, and learn what makes guys tick and be trained for the guy that you're eventually going to be married if you aren't hanging out with guys and, you know, practicing some of these things. So, you know, unless the guy absolutely horrifies you, say yes. At least the first time, first or second time, right? Okay. Dress to bless. Care of Ginny. Dress to bless. So don't come to events or go to things where you're going to meet people. You know, kind of, so there's, on the one extreme, there's like the hoochie mama kind of dress, right? So no hoochie mama, okay? You know, you're not wearing, you know, form-fitting, skin-tight, you know, cleavage down to here, none of that stuff. So you want to dress attractive but modest, right? And the other extreme is like, what do we call it? Frumpy. No frumpy. You're not going to dress, you're not dressing like your mother or your grandmother, right? So somewhat fashionable, attractive, show some of your best assets, but not like in an over-the-top, you know, sexual way. So there's lots of godly women in the church. Look around, find some that do that, that accomplish that successfully, and go and ask them to mentor you. Okay. Okay. Same thing as for the guys. Eye contact when you're talking to the guy. Okay, so you're not like, obviously, like, you know. At some point, you know, maybe you want to give him a signal. If he doesn't want to stop talking and you'd like to meet some other people, after 5 or 10 minutes, you can start giving signals. You know, kind of like, you know, show him that you're ready to kind of move on, or say, hey, you know, I'm going to go get a snack or something. I'm going to talk to my friend over here. You know, think of those little lines that you can get yourself out of an awkward situation. But for a period of time when you're with the person, you should be with the person, right? That's how you honor people. Try and let the guy lead. You know, you can throw things and kind of jump in a little bit, but try and be like half a step behind the guy. Especially in the dating dance when you're like, you know, back and forth about a date or a second date and so on. It's kind of like dancing. And we had actually one of those events where we talked about the analogy between dancing and dating and kind of what that looks like. And I can't go into that today. But so asking and giving contact info. So if you've had a great conversation with somebody, right, and it's a warm conversation, you've had some laughs and stuff, just take that as a cue. Just go for it, guys, you know, and ask for some contact info. She can say no, or she can say, you know, give you an email that, you know, she never looks at, right? Which they do. but it's not right. Ginny says it's not right. But step out, you know, say, hey, you know, I, you know, think through. Maybe you're the kind of guy you have to prepare in advance. So if I'm in this situation, I have a great conversation with a woman, what am I going to say? Say, hey, it was great talking to you. Really enjoyed getting to know you, and that you, you know, you love hiking, and, you know, that you've been doing this for so many years. I'm really fascinated about some of those awesome places that you went to. Okay, so that's the message part, affirmation. Then you say, hey, I'd love to chat some more. How about we connect? You know, can I get your contact info? Can I get an email? Or, you know, she may be a little reserved. Well, maybe we can connect on Facebook, you know, and then do that. You know, whatever's comfortable for her, do that, right? Usually in our culture, back in the day, you would ask for a phone number. In our culture, usually you wouldn't do that. It seems too intimate for a woman to give a phone number off the top. But, you know, maybe you have a bunch of conversations and you're really warm and friendly. There's a good friendship. You can ask for a phone number. But start with something. And same thing, you know, with the women. Give them some contact info. If you've had a great conversation, you think he's an interesting guy. Unless you're horrified or you feel like a big, like, red light in your spirit and going, no. Get me out of here, right? Other than that, like, you know, give the guy a chance. And if you're open and this is going to contravene what Ginny said, but I'm going to do it anyways. If you're open, but you're still not, you're not completely sure, give him one of those alternative emails that you check once in a while. And respond if he emails you. Still respond, but if you're just a little bit uncomfortable and you're not sure, but at least respond, okay? So we say respond to the guy in some way, and don't make a lame excuse, you know? Don't make some stupid lame excuse where the guy knows you're making an excuse. Just be straight up, right? Right, Jacob? Yeah. Guys hate it when women beat around the bush. You know, if you don't want to go out with them, just, you know, say, just decline graciously. You know, I really enjoyed our conversation, but I'd rather not go out at this time. Or, you know, I'd rather just be friends. I look forward to meeting you at the next event. Or say something gracious, but decline. Okay? At least the guy knows where you're at, right? All right. Basic do, guys, if you're saying you're going to call, text, or email, then do so. If you ask for the girl's contact information and you don't respond, not good. That shows you're not a man of honor, right? Because you implied you're going to contact her. You asked for the information and then you just ignore her. Not good. So be a godly man. Good to be an upright man and actually contact her if you get her info. I think I've got a couple more things to say around that before our discussion. Yeah, I think that's good for that. So let's go into three. Do's and don'ts when asking someone out or accepting or declining. So we kind of touched on that. I'll just wrap it up. Guys, don't take a poll. You're not doing a survey. So this is one of Ginny's pet peeves, so I had to mention it. Guys that come on and say, hey, what are you doing on Saturday night? What are you doing this weekend? You got anything going on? And you know they're fishing to find out whether you may be available so that they could step up and so it's not as risky for them to ask you out. Women hate that. Just step up, be a bold guy, and just ask her out. And she has, give her opportunity or a reason to say no. You know, because she's, if she's got something on and she doesn't want to go, she can say, hey, you know, my weekend's really full. But thanks anyways. Or if she's open, she can say, hey, my weekend's really full this weekend, but I'd love to connect another time, right? You give her an opportunity to give you an honest signal. But if you're fishing around and you find out her weekend's open and she doesn't want to go out with you, you're putting in a really awkward position, right? She's going to have to make up some excuse and she's going to feel weird about it. So just ask her straight up. Don't poll her. What's the other way that guys poll? If I were to ask you out, would you be open to saying yes? Women have actually had guys ask questions like that, and then they don't ask them out. No. That's just disrespectful. Don't do that. Okay? You're not doing a survey. Just step out, be a bold guy, and ask her out, or ask her for her contact info. And if gals, if you do get a poll question, respond in a kind of fun way, but don't go down that trail. So something like this. If he asks you, hey, if I asked you out sometime, would you be open? Something like this would be a good response. Well, that's something you or some other bold guy will discover when he steps up to the plate and asks me out. Of course... Okay, let me qualify that. Don't do that with attitude. Don't do that like, do that with a big smile on your face and really cute, like that, right? So the guy doesn't feel slapped. You know, you're not slapping the guy. You're having fun. You're kind of teasing him. It's a kind of a fun thing. You're kind of challenging him to step up, right? Or why don't you take a deep breath, make the invitation, and find out? All right, what else did I say here? Or if he's asking, you know, what are you doing this weekend or what are you doing up to on Saturday night, say, oh, I have a few options I'm considering, and leave it at that, right? You're going to make him ask a little more, maybe ask him to step up. Or you could say, if I get a better invitation, I'd definitely consider it. All right. Okay, last thing, and we're going to have a discussion. Timing. Timing around relational things. And this is like a huge topic. It could be like a whole hour. But what is kind of a healthy time frame for reaching out to people, for asking people out, and so on? I mean, I always say, and I've had, you know, coaching sessions, especially with women around this, so that they can draw appropriate boundaries. But you always pace a relationship based on where the relationship is at, what level you're at, how close you are, where you're at. So it's not appropriate, usually, unless you had like an amazing first conversation, for the guy to like text the girl as soon as she leaves the hall, right? Hey, would you like to go out? You know, give her a day or two or three, right? Don't like pounce on her because you just met her, right? So that's appropriate. But if you've gone on a few dates with somebody and you've had a great connection, you know, the frequency could be a little closer, right? And as Carmen's input, Carmen's away for the weekend in L.A. working on a possible script. What's he doing? A script. He's presenting his script, pitch. But he said this. One of the things he's learned, he says, don't blow up the girl's cell phone. Okay, so don't like text and send another text and send another text. You seem like a stalker. Okay? You've got to give lots of room for the woman to respond. And so, you know, a day or two later or three later, send her an email or a text after you've just met her and give her opportunity to respond. And don't be like, call her because she didn't respond, you know? Give her some space. You know, it could be maybe she just doesn't want to respond right then, or maybe she doesn't want to go out. So if you start pushing and pushing and pushing, like, guys are to be pursuers but not stalkers. So there's kind of a healthy balance there, right? All right. And probably just as a general guideline, in relationships, don't come across needy. If you are in a place of neediness emotionally, it'll come across. You'll push too hard. Women will like almost start to like pursue the guy because she so badly wants him to ask her out, and she'll come across too strong because she's needy. Or the guy will kind of like pursue too hard. He'll try to buy her off with gifts or flowers way too soon. You could do it like 4 or 5 decades ago. You, on your first date, you could bring flowers to the girl's door and a box of candy. Don't do that anymore. It's just not appropriate in our culture. That comes across way too strong. And buying expensive gifts after a few dates is just not right. You're sending the, even if the girl likes it, she's going to start liking you for the wrong reasons. You've got to be so confident in who you are and your value that she should like you for who you are, and vice versa for the woman. So you go into these things thinking, I'm valuable, I'm treasured. You tell yourself that every day. You spend time with God and you let him tell you how valuable you are, so you don't come into relationships needy. And you don't want to be like into your little intravenous going on, just stick it in somebody's arm. You know, make me feel good. Make me feel good. Love me. You know, tell me nice things about me. People that struggle with rejection or insecurity will do that. And what you do is you alienate people and you push them away rather than attract people. And we're learning how to attract people. So you attract people by blessing and giving and valuing them and looking for ways that you can lift them up rather than trying to fill your needs. You get the difference? And that will do you amazing things in your relationships. All right, so what time we got here? I'm going to give you like 7 minutes for the last question, and then we're going to wrap up. We've run out of time. Okay, so discuss those ideas that are most meaningful to you and why in the last, whatever, 10, 15 minutes that I talked. So anything that stood out to you, if you can't remember, it'll trigger as somebody else is talking about it. But just a couple things. You got 7 minutes just to chat about any things that stuck out to you, and then we're going to wrap up and have a Romy cake. All right, go. All right, before we wrap up, I've heard there's some burning questions, and we really don't have time. We're going to do a lot of questions next time. Like, as you see at the end, we're going to do a big Q&A next time. But just because there's maybe a couple burning questions, I'm going to field 2 questions. So I think I have one here already, and then we're going to officially wrap. Is there an effective way to encourage hint for a man to initiate a date. All right. I should get a woman to answer that one. An effective way to encourage or hint for a man. Well, I mean, a lot of the things I've just said will be effective encouragements, right? If you're warm, open body language, you actually smile at the guy. Maybe he's across the room and you kind of, you notice him look your way and you just give him a big smile and then you look back a little while later, you know, clues. A guy that's kind of a little bit coherent may notice that you're open. Those are more subtle, of course. or you can, with a girlfriend, go and find yourself in the vicinity of the guy, right? At the refreshment table, wait for a time when it's not weird or awkward, but if you can put yourself in a place where you're near him, and then, you know, kind of look over at him, and he notices, and he's noticed you a few times around and about, maybe he's going to warm up to you and have a conversation. But if it's a guy you know, the best way is really to honor and respect a guy. A guy's language is respect, not love. So learn about it. We have a whole thing we do on love and respect in our Dating for Keeps workshops and what makes a man tick and how you can make him light up. It's all around respect and honor. And so showing that, you know, you respect the things he does or the things he's passionate about, you see those as valid, as making a difference in the world. Like this guy's a knight. He's you know, a prince charming. You treat him like that and you value the things he talks about and you hang on every word. That would be a really good hint that you like him and that you're open, right? And you show interest in him. Of course, you don't want to come across too needy either, and the guy's, you know, ready to go or go talk to somebody else, and you keep talking to him, and you're kind of like following after him. Don't do that, okay? Because that'll probably be counterproductive. Ginny, do you want to say anything on this? Okay. Okay, one other question, then we're going to conclude. Anybody got a burning question that you have to have answered tonight or you'd like to have answered tonight? Anyone?
Hold on. Ice cream cone.
About when you are getting to know somebody and you're kind of like you don't really know if how the other person feels about you. You're kind of hanging out as friends,
right?
And then time, maybe a month. I don't know how much time goes by, and then it never really is established what kind of relationship that you have. As a woman, I kind of defer to like waiting for the man to say, hey, do you want to go out? And like making it clear that he's interested in me more than a friend rather than, oh, do you want to go out? Do you want to? And you don't know. You know, you can't. I don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so you're talking about one of the greatest pet peeves of women in our culture. Guys that just don't want to step up to the plate and like, take it to the next level, ask her out, or, you know, make it a relationship or whatever. One of the big problems is women are too accommodating to men in our culture. They will actually be friends with a man for months and months and months and years and years. They'll even like cook meals for him, do his laundry, clean up his house. They're doing all they get all the perks. Why would he want, you know, to take the risk of stepping up and, you know, actually having a marriage or a real relationship? So, I think women need to establish healthy boundaries and don't be like too friendly with a guy because that encourages him to actually step out and pursue. If you're giving him too much, he's not going to pursue. And if you're afraid that, you know, you need to give him lots and lots so that he'll like you more, it actually doesn't work that way. It's better to give him less so he has to kind of like come towards you, right? You give him warmth, give him enough that he knows you're available, that you're warm, that when you have a conversation, you honor him, you respect him, you love some of the things he says, encourage him around things that he's involved in. But then, you know, you'd be better off to leave the conversation short rather than hanging on to it, right? So you're having a good conversation, you see he's enjoying it and say, oh, well, that was a great conversation. I'm going to talk to him. Leave. I mean, just cut things off. Don't always say yes to everything he asks you out on. You know, say, hey, you know, I've got a full week, but thanks for the invite. You know, turn him down sometimes. Don't always answer the phone when he calls you or text. Don't respond right away. I mean, and you're not playing games when you do that. People say that's playing hard to get. No, it's not. It's honoring yourself, and it's honoring the stage of the relationship. And if he can't step up, you don't want to be giving him all kinds of things and saying, I like you, I like you, I like you. No, you don't like him because you don't want a man like that, right? So you are honoring the relationship, and you're respecting and valuing yourself by not giving him too much. Women just keep give and give and give and give, and they think that's going to make the guy, and it's actually counterproductive. It actually, like, the guy has no incentive to pursue you because he knows he's got you if he wants you. So he keeps you in his back pocket, and he pursues other women. And it's not even like guys do that intentionally. It's just something built into guys. They're built to hunt. And they want a prize that's valuable. And if you're not treating yourself as valuable, he's not going to be attracted to hunt you. You have to treat yourself with value. Okay, I'm kind of letting in on like guy secrets around a mixed group here, but I'd actually like to do a workshop just for women, and we can go into some of the nitty gritty of this. But I know some of the guys are like upset with me now, but but guys need to learn how to honor women and not to imply that they're interested when they aren't really. I mean, that's honoring and respectful. A lot of guys will, like, pretend that they're more interested than they really are so that the woman will show her hand. She'll eventually fall for him, and he's like, yeah, and then he moves on. It's called, you know, serial daters, right? And some guys get highs out of doing that. They bagged her. They know they've got her heart, and then they move on, and they get another woman. And it doesn't even have to be a sexual thing. You know, in Christian circles, it often isn't. Sometimes it is, I mean, crazily enough. But sometimes it's just he knows he's got her heart, her emotions, she really likes him. Okay, you know, see if I can find another girl that, you know, maybe I like even more who will also like me. And then they just, you know, that is not honoring. And guys need to know that. That's not a way to win yourself favor with women or with her friends or in a Christian community. You're eventually going to be known as the player, and everybody's going to say, avoid that guy. Right? So don't do that. But we know that all the guys here, I'm preaching to the choir, because you guys wouldn't be here if you weren't teachable. You didn't want to learn and grow and become the godly man who's going to be a great husband, right? You wouldn't be here. So I should be preaching this message to the guys that aren't here. But so that's your responsibility to spread the word, right? We'll eventually get stuff like this on our new website next month, and we'll actually have audios for some of the things, and they'll be up there for people to listen to. All right, we're going to wrap up with prayer, and then we got the Romy farewell cake, okay? Father, thanks for bringing us all together tonight. We thank you that although we're all from different churches, different walks of life, different, you know, all kinds of stuff, that we can be your family, God's family, because we have a love for you together. And thanks for bringing us here, for just in teaching us the things that we need to learn tonight. Each person, we pray that your Holy Spirit would highlight that to them and keep instructing them in those lessons throughout the next weeks, Lord. I pray that people here would be blessed by the things that they've learned, that you would impart just new confidence, new boldness to step up in their relationships with other people, and that you would just impart to them a new sense of their value and their worth, that they are worth much, and that they can hold out for somebody that will see their worth, and that they can be ones that will bless others and treasure hunt. So we pray that you teach us all how to do this, that we could grow together as a community, spread the word to others, that we're to be part of our extended family here, and we look forward to the exciting things you're going to do in coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.